Good morning, Grace people.
Good
to be with you today. Good morning to those of you who are watching online this morning. Good morning again. I'll add my voice to Andrew's of good morning to those of you who are joining us as guests today. Just so excited to have you here with us today. It's kind of a big day for us at Community of Grace. I mean, I just want to say you picked a great day to worship at Community of Grace today. We got what I'm calling the four C's that are happening today. We got communion that we're all going to share in later on in the service. We got confirmation that's happening in this service with our confirmants sitting here right in the front row, being so countercultural and counter-Lutheran. Way to go. We commissioned some missionaries earlier in our previous two services, which is great. 17 missionaries who are making their way on down to the Dominican Republic starting next week. And then we've got some candles that we are going to light in honor of All Saints Sunday. You can do that as you are concluding your time at communion today. It's just a great day. So much happening. And then there's one more piece of good news, which is because of all that happening, my sermon is going to be shorter. Hey! That's right, yes. Love you guys. So got to self-deprecate a little bit, right? Well, you know, all of this is part of the Spirit of Grace, the Spirit of our congregation, the Holy Spirit at work in our midst. And if you've been around here for a bit since this fall, you know that we have been in the middle of a sermon series that has been guiding us through some key values, some core values that are guiding us now and that will guide us into the future as a community of grace. Four values that are around the formation of disciples. Spiritual formation and the forming of disciples, how we become disciples, the what of discipleship. And there are four different values. They've got the letters K-T-I-S that go in front of them in case you don't know. And if you've been around, I'm going to give you a little test here to see how many remember them. Don't feel ashamed if you don't remember them yet. It's all right. We're just getting started. But let's see if we remember what the four discipleship formation values are, starting with K. It's to
know.
Good job. Know Jesus. Trust Jesus, imitate Jesus, speak Jesus. Fantastic. Well done. Those are all part of the what, how we are being formed as disciples here at Community of Grace. And the things that we're leaning into and really raising the priority of those values here at Community of Grace and how we are being shaped into disciples. And then following that, we talked about four new particular values that deal with the mission, the why of discipleship. Why do we become disciples? Because there's a mission that is out there for us. And that mission involves us engaging with other people in particular ways, in Jesus ways. So we wanted to talk about four ways in which we are following Jesus and four ways in which we are exemplifying Jesus in the way that Jesus is among us and is in the world. And those are four values too. Let's see if we remember these ones. It starts with seeing people the way Jesus sees people. Loving people the way Jesus loves people. Very good. Serving people the way Jesus serves people. And teaching people the way Jesus teaches people. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, if you are unfamiliar with those, if you're not kind of wondering where those all come from, feel free to go back and take a look at these sermons from the past, kind of re-engage with them. But these aren't things that we're just wrapping up today and then saying, cool, we did that, now let's just move on. Actually, we need to figure out how we move forward. Where do we go from here? Where do these values bring us? What do we do on this All Saints Sunday to acknowledge what it is that God is doing among us, but where we go as we lean into these values? Well, I want to share with you a passage of scripture from Hebrews 12, which is very fitting for this All Saints Sunday. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, it says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." On this All Saints Day, when all the saints are here and all the sinners are here too, because we're one and the same, folks, I want to ask you, raise your hand as to which you identify which more today. Okay, we're all saints, we're all sinners, it's all of us together here. But we're being called into something, we're being called into a race, we're being called into a journey of our lives. And there's a place that we must focus our attention, and it's focusing it on Jesus and being all in for him. So on this All Saints Sunday, I'm inviting you to be all in. To be all in. And especially as it is Confirmation Sunday, Confirmands, I want you to listen to what I have to say today, because it applies to all of us, but it definitely applies to you as you are coming into this time in the life of this congregation, but in the life of the world and in the life that God has for us as his church throughout all generations. What it means to be all in. What does it mean to be all in? Well, the term all in, it comes from a game that some of you may have played a little bit in the past. It's something called Texas Hold'em. I don't know if any of you ever played Texas Hold'em. You don't need to raise your hands if you did. Last service I said, hey, you don't need to raise your hands if you ever played Texas Hold'em. A bunch of people raised their hands. I said, ah, good. The sinners are in the house. It's awesome. Fantastic. Just teasing, by the way. I'm just teasing. But what this game is about, of course, it's a card game. And there's a particular way of betting in this game that allows you at a certain point to say that you just want to take all the chips that you have in front of you and push it into the center and say, I'm all in. I am all in. This is winner take all. This is loser lose all. I'm all in. And it's a move that is made. And it represents what it is that our heart attitude is as being disciples when we step over that line into that place of complete devotion to Jesus. We say, Lord, I am all in. Everything I have is yours. All that I consider gain, I count loss for you, Lord. It's all yours. I'm all in. So I want to talk today quickly about four different ways in which we need to be all in on this discipleship journey. The first is this. We must not be distracted by lesser things. We must not be distracted by lesser things. There are all kinds of things that are vying for our attention. So many different things vying for our attention. And Jesus speaks in a way that's kind of interesting when he talks about the distractions or the things that can draw us away. He says these words in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Just hear what Jesus is talking about here. As the disciples were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. These are some tough words to take in from Jesus. I mean, if you take him just at face value, it's like, is Jesus saying that I'm not supposed to go to funerals? I mean, is Jesus saying that I'm not supposed to care about my family anymore? Is Jesus saying that I shouldn't consider at all where it is that I lay my head or the shelter that I need? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is speaking in hyperbole. Hyperbole means Jesus is going to a far extreme in order to make a clear point. And the clear point is this. Jesus understands that we are easily distracted in trying to follow him. In following after Jesus, it's so easy for us to go, squirrel. We can do that. It happens to us. And believe me, in this day and age, there are more things vying for your attention, trying to distract you from following Jesus than ever before. So many things calling for your attention, asking you to say, no, 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 look at me. No, 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 this is more important. Jesus is saying to us, listen, I know there are things that happen in your life. And those things matter, but those things can never become the priority above his kingdom purposes in your life. They can't be places that distract you. You can't be in a spot where you're thinking about putting your hand to the plow and going forward and then stopping and being like, what is anybody else thinking? You know, I mean, what's that? Because what's going to happen with the plow when you do that? Anybody's ever mowed a lawn that way? It's bad. Don't do that. You got to stay focused. You got to stay looking forward to where Jesus is calling you and what he's asking you to do. We must not be distracted by lesser things. Listen, Jesus understands our capacity for distraction and sometimes our desire to pursue lesser things. It's why he continually had to redirect his disciples back to his kingdom priorities. He did it over and over again in the Gospels. Anytime they would go squirrel, he'd be like, come on, come back here, come on. No, this is really what I'm talking about. This is really what my kingdom means. He did that for them. He does it for us. There are distractions all around us. Politics, entertainment, wealth, appetites, tradition, comfort. All of these things are lesser things. I'm not saying that they don't have a value or that they aren't important in some way, shape, or form. They can just never be the first priority. And they can never be the thing that takes the place of God's kingdom priorities for us. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. And then all these things will be added and they will take care of themselves. Jesus knows what he's doing when he says this. So that's number one. We must not be distracted by lesser things. Second, we must be willing to lose it all to gain what matters most. Back to that analogy of being all in. That's that attitude that says, listen, I know what is at stake here, and I have to push it all in for Jesus, knowing that there are risks involved in doing that. Jesus shared about this in Matthew 13, 44. He said this, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. That's being willing to risk everything. Listen, Jesus did everything for you. Jesus saw you as the treasure and laid down his whole life to purchase you and to bring you into his kingdom. But this is a kingdom principle, which means it doesn't end with you. It continues on to those around you. It's an attitude that we have amongst ourselves that says, listen, Lord, people matter to you. My neighbor matters to you. That relative matters to you. That person in need matters to you. And I am willing to give up whatever it is necessary to show them their value, to let them know how loved they are by you, that you might bring them into your kingdom as well. That's a kingdom attitude. Jim Elliot, a missionary in Ecuador who died in the mission field many years ago, said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Everything that we have in this life is temporary. But the relationships and the people who we are around, they are permanent. They are forever. They are eternal. So what do you think matters the most to God? The eternal things. So being willing to say, I will let go of those things that are temporary for the sake of those things that are eternal. That's part of what it means to be all in. Third, we must declare our weakness and our total dependence on the Holy Spirit. Declare our weakness and our total dependence on the Holy Spirit. Very, very countercultural, but let me share these words from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians when he says this, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. That's God speaking to Paul. And so Paul's response is, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is perhaps the most countercultural message, one of the most countercultural messages that comes through to us from the Gospels. To declare our weakness. Nobody does that. Nobody stands up in front of a group and says, hi, I would like you to follow me and where I'm going. And let me tell you all of my flaws and how I am not equipped to do this. I mean, our first notion would be, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? We honor strength and independence. That's what matters. Not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, we step forward recognizing compared to God's power, I am weak. Compared to his purposes and where he wants to go, I've got nothing to offer. But when we come with that attitude to God and an attitude of dependence on the Holy Spirit, that's where the Holy Spirit looks at us and says, ah, there's someone I can use. There's someone I can use. There's an individual who gets it, who isn't willing to stand up and boast about how strong they are, but instead is willing to stand up and say, you know what? I don't have it all together. I have many weaknesses and many flaws, but in that place, God is bringing his strength into my life. His strength, not ours. A dependence on him that flows out then in the body of Christ, in brothers and sisters around you, who gather around you, who share their life with you to encourage you in those places where you are weak, to let God be strong in those places. We must declare our weakness and our total dependence on the Holy Spirit, which leads to the final thing that we must do. We must devote ourselves to prayer. Nothing says greater dependence and weakness than prayer. When we pray, we are immediately saying, I need help. I can't do this. Why else pray? We pray because we don't have the answers. We pray because we don't know the way. We pray because we lack something. And in that place, God meets us there to say, here is what I have to tell you. Here's what I have to show you. Here's where I want to guide you. It's in prayer that we engage with God in relationship that way. We must devote ourselves to prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. There's a lot of always there that Paul is emphasizing. He's like, listen, this is a posture we take, a posture of prayer. I know I have a long way to go in my prayer life, but believe me, as the challenges that I am facing are starting to emerge, as the realities of what it is that God wants me to do and wants us to go, where he wants us to go as a congregation are there, I am falling more and more on my knees before the Lord to say, Lord, I don't have it. I don't have this figured out, but I trust you. I trust you. I trust you, Jesus. We need to step into that together as God's people. Friends, we have a prayer vigil that's coming up this coming Saturday. And it's a time of 24 hours starting at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning and going till 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. We're asking people to grab half-hour slots and devote that time in prayer. You can do it at home. You can do it here. There's a lot of spots that are still open on the forms out there. You can sign up online, but you can also sign up right out there in the commons. A lot of spaces available. I would love to see those spaces filled. I would love to see us have that entire 24 hours covered by God's people saying, we are going to be before the Lord saying, Lord, what do you want for us? What do you want for us as a school, as a church, as a preschool? What do you want for the seminary that's housed here? What do you want, Lord? Let's listen. How do these values, Lord, shape where it is that we're going? Lord, it's all before you. Speak to us. We are ready to listen. We must be devoted to prayer in greater and greater ways. Friends, all of this is stuff that we can't do on our own. We do it from a posture of dependence. We do it from a posture of weakness. We do it from a place of knowing that Jesus loves us and that Jesus loves you deeply. On this All Saints Day, I would ask you to be all in. Be all in for where Jesus wants to take us, where he wants to take you personally, young people, where he wants to take you as a part of his church and a part of this community together. We need you. The Lord needs you. He needs your weakness to show his strength. He needs your complete dependence to lead us into the future where he wants us to go. Let's take that posture right now in this place of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, here we are. We come before you, Lord, offering our whole selves. Broken, weak, weary, in need of your grace every moment of our lives. And Lord, from that posture, we trust to know that you are strong, you are great, you are good. And your spirit of grace has been at work in this place for generations. Just like the words of that song say, Lord, from generation to generation, you have never failed us. Why would you fail now? We know that you won't. We fail in ourselves, Lord, but you never fail. So we lean into your strength. We lean into your promises. We receive from you everything that you have for us so that you can do a work by your Spirit in us so that then you can do a work in the world through us. We lay it all down before you, Lord. We are all in. Now lead us, Jesus, where you would take us. We pray these things today, Jesus, in your name. Amen and amen.